This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's tribe time now.
Welcome to Tribe Talk on the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Tribe Talk is brought to you by Progressive, helping Indians fans save hundreds on car insurance.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive. Soon to be Guardians Weekly, presented by Progressive. Jim Rosenhaus along with you this weekend from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland as we continue with our off-season editions of Tribe Talk. And again, it'll transition to Guardians Weekly soon. This week, we begin our series of look-backs at great games from the 2021 season. We do it each off-season with some of the walk-off wins, great pitching performances, all of that. And we'll take you back to April 13th of the 2021 campaign, one of the great pitchers' duels of the season. And it came early between Shane Bieber of the Indians and Lucas Giolito of the Chicago White Sox. That'll be in the second half of our show. But when we get started shortly, Anthony Castrovince will join us from MLB Network and MLB.com. He's based right here in Cleveland, and he'll have his thoughts on the postseason so far with the World Series just about set, and also some thoughts on the soon-to-be Guardians going forward in 2022. That's all coming your way shortly as Tribe Talk gets rolling on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
Yeah, this season I actually had little business cards made. Eric Rubino, Fantasy Baseball GM. You can keep that. Sure, the players are famous, but come game day, I decide their fate. What's that? Oh, you make $20 million? Well, I don't like your attitude. You're benched! Now, I'd never bench an all-star, but I could. That's also why I like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. With options based on my budget, they never throw me a curveball. That's a little baseball reference for you.
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A 2-2, Taylor with a fly ball to deep left center field. Chris Taylor has hit his third home run of the night and becomes the 11th different player in baseball history with three home runs in a postseason game. Chris Taylor.
Here's the 1-1. This one's popped into shallow center field. That's going to get down for a hit. Altuve races around third. He'll score on the flare from Brantley. And it's 7-0 Astros.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive. Soon to be Guardians Weekly, presented by Progressive, as we are in that transition period for the Indians and Guardians name change. Jim Rosenhaus back with you. And great to have you with us for Baseball Talk on the radio. And we try and welcome in during this time of year Anthony Castrovince, former Indians.com beat reporter and now MLB.com, MLB Network. You see him on the TV quite a bit on the network. And Anthony, great to have you with us as we start to wrap up one championship series with another one still very much up in the air, but the World Series looming. And I'll tell you what, it's been a fun postseason so far, and I'm not sure what your impressions have been, but just catching bits and pieces. There have been some great matchups and the usual surprises, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And Rosie, thanks for having me on Tribe Talk one last time. I'm going to call it Guardians Gab moving forward, but I understand Guardians Weekly will also work. But yeah, it has been a fun postseason. It's been fascinating the way it's been managed. And some of that's the evolution of baseball, and some of that is coming off the pandemic shortened season last year. But just in general in MLB this year, you know, well, first of all, we've seen an evolution in general of starters pitching fewer innings, but it was really to the extreme in this 2021 season. If you look at it, not many guys even qualified for the ERA title. And then it's really been accelerated here in the postseason stage where starters have averaged about 12 outs a game. And we've seen openers and bullpen games, you know, almost as a norm. You know, even the Dodgers came into the year. They're the perfect example of came into the year with this great elite rotation and so much depth and too many guys for not enough spots. And, you know, they've had to go with bullpen games and they've gone with relievers to open games and then bring in the starters. So it's been really interesting to see, you know, how that's all played out. And, but there's been some really compelling games and a lot of resilience. You know, you look at that ALCS and first of all, who would have thought the Boston Red Sox would have gotten there, you know, in light of their up and down season, but then they get there and then they look like a juggernaut after game three. They look unstoppable. And the Astros, who lose their ace prior to the ALCS, come battling back and end up winning it and getting back to the World Series. So, you know, you can't help but be impressed by that team because, you know, there's a lot of negative Astros sentiment in the air, as I'm sure you're aware. And but they've, you know, no Justin Verlander, no Gerrit Cole, no George Springer. They lose their ace, Lance McCullers, prior to the ALCS and make it back to the World Series anyway. Pretty impressive.
And let's start right there with the ALCS and the Astros advancing to the World Series. Third time in five seasons now for them. And you mentioned the pitching that's not there, but we saw, the Indians did, when they played the Astros in the month of July. And some of these young arms were coming to the forefront, and they were impressive. And what does that say? I know you mentioned that narrative about, you know, the scandal back a couple of years back and all that, and the Astros having a hard time getting past that. But when you get right down to developing pitching, it seems like they're onto something.
Yeah, I think they've been really underrated in that regard. We know the Astros have the best lineup in MLB and have for a while. It's such a deep lineup and balanced and you know, good contact rates. They don't strike themselves out of innings and that sort of thing. And that's really where their bread has been buttered, that and then having superstar pitching that everybody can identify with. But beneath the surface, they've really done a good job developing pitching. And it's interesting because, you know, Forrest Whitley is the guy who everybody pegged as their top pitching prospect. And you know, he's had an injury-plagued professional career to this point. But lo and behold, you know, Framber Valdez has come up in the last few years and been an impact pitcher for them. This year, Luis Garcia, who was so good in game six of the ALCS, you know, he was a rookie of the year candidate this year. And, you know, I take a good hard look at him with my rookie of the year ballot this year. Jose Urquidy has been kind of battle tested. He's pretty young too. He's 26. He's pitched for them in the postseason and is a nice depth piece for them. So, you know, I'm really amazed, frankly, at how they not just how they put it together in the regular season, because Zach Greinke was not, you know, he's no longer an ace. He pitched himself out of the rotation by the end of the year. But they found the depth to keep this run going. They did it last year in the shortened season. They did it again this year. And then within the context of the ALCS and losing Lance McCullers, who I thought was so important to them, I thought that was going to be the difference maker in the ALCS is the Astros being without McCullers. And it sure looked that way after a few games. But, you know, they pieced it together in the bullpen. Dusty Baker doesn't get enough credit for how much he's evolved as a manager over the years. And again, Luis Garcia really stepped up for them when they needed him.
Anthony Castrovince joining us from MLB Network and MLB.com. Based right here in Cleveland, and we'll talk Tribe in a little bit, or Guardians for 2022. So the Astros are in. They're in the World Series, and they're waiting to see who they're up. The Dodgers and Braves get it back going tonight in Game 6 of the NLCS. And at the start here, we talked about pitching, how it's used. And the Dodgers, maybe they've opened themselves up to some criticism. Max Scherzer sounds like he's having a tough time being able to post, certainly for tonight, and who knows what his availability is tomorrow, if there is a Game 7. When you look at what they've done with the openers and things like that, have they kind of opened themselves up to putting themselves in a tough position by maybe some pitchers being out of character and in some spots maybe they shouldn't have been in or haven't been in the past?
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity to criticize there for being getting a little too cute. But having said that, I also, you know, we don't know everything beneath the surface of what they're seeing, what they're, you know, hearing from their, you know, the feedback they're getting from their pitchers, that sort of thing. I do have to acknowledge that this year is a challenge for everybody, the Dodgers included. First of all, they you know, they lose Dustin May, they lose Trevor Bauer, of course, and Clayton Kershaw. And that really tested their depth, and everybody is kind of scrambling for innings this year because you're coming off 60 games, and then they went, you know, they went deeper into last season, but still, it's just not the usual workload. So it's a huge ramp up between 2020 and 2021, and that's why they're just trying to be as careful as possible. But there is, you know, using an opener in front of Max Scherzer and that sort of thing, it's worked. I'd say on measure it's worked, but they're also getting to the point now of the postseason where, you know, you're going back to that well maybe a few too many times. And I kind of worried about the Dodgers going the NLCS because of just the emotional and physical toll of going five games against their rival Giants, you know, and Scherzer coming out of the bullpen to finish that one off and just leaving it all out there on the mound, you know, giving it everything he had. You could clearly tell how much that, you know, those outs meant to him and that team to oust their rivals. But then lo and behold, you know, he has a dead arm as a result. And so that's why he can't go in game six. So it definitely catches up with you.
And on the other side, the Braves, one game away from going back to the World Series. Every October there are surprise players, but based on what you saw here the first 2 months of the season, would you have ever thought that Eddie Rosario would be that surprise player for Atlanta?
Well, I remember saying when you know, when the Braves gave up Pablo Sandoval for Eddie Rosario, I mean, that was the biggest blockbuster of the trade deadline. I think everybody would agree. You know, some people thought Max Scherzer and Trey Turner going to the Dodgers was a big deal, but I think everybody circled Eddie Rosario for Pablo Sandoval, who was a member of Cleveland for about 5 or 6 minutes before he was waived. Yeah, that was not, you know, you did not think it would be as big of an impact deal. Rosario had a tough go of it with Cleveland. He just never really settled in here, which was surprising. You know, he had a great history at Progressive Field. You know, Cleveland saw him at his absolute best, you know, when he was with the Twins. He always seemed to rake at that ballpark, but, you know, came over to Cleveland, just never got it going, and he was hurt at the time of the trade. And the Braves, Alex Anthopoulos should be executive of the year because the Braves lose Ronald Acuña Jr. The weekend before the All-Star break. And they weren't playing great to begin with. It was a team really underperforming. The whole division was underperforming. They were still mathematically in the race, but you lose an MVP candidate in Ronald Acuña Jr. It's really easy, especially in today's game where people hoard prospects and always seem to look for reasons not to do something. It would have been really easy to just, you know, just throw in the towel, essentially. But right away, Alex Anthopoulos acquires Jock Peterson to send a message to the clubhouse that, hey, we still believe in you guys and we're still in this. And I think that was really important to do. They come out of the All-Star break and you know, Jock Peterson is on their club. And then he keeps adding. He just added outfielder after outfielder, Adam Duvall, Jorge Soler, and, of course, Rosario. And those guys have all been difference makers. They've all played great for Atlanta. And Rosario never better than in this postseason where he's been, you know, Babe Ruth all of a sudden. And it's just been great to see Alex Anthopoulos get rewarded for that, you know, that aggressive attitude and that, you know, I still believe in my team.
Gut feel on who the Astros play in the World Series?
Well, I think it'll be the Braves just mathematically. I know it's, you know, the narrative, and we've experienced this in Cleveland, unfortunately, where, you know, you blow some series and that becomes, it kind of hangs over your head, even if, you know, some of the guys weren't even there last year, blowing the 3-1 lead against the Dodgers. But I really think that was different. Their starting pitching was in a bad spot a year ago. You know, they were scrambling for outs at that point. It was 7 games in 7 days last year in a neutral site, which really, you know, tested and exposed your bullpen. Whereas now, with the off days and more traditional alignment, and they have the home field advantage in Atlanta, you know, I just think it sets up better for them. You know, they got Ian Anderson and Charlie Morton on regular rest, so I feel good about their chances of winning one of the next two.
Anthony Castrovinz joining us from MLB Network, MLB.com, and Anthony, on the back end of our interview here, just some quick thoughts on the soon-to-be Guardians for 2022. It just seems like it's quiet so far, as you'd expect, mm-hmm. but it's going to be an interesting offseason with the CBA looming on December 1st and a lot of key decisions for the Indians/Guardians. What are you seeing this offseason in terms of what could happen here in Cleveland?
Well, the CBA hangs over everything in terms of how teams go about, you know, approaching their club construction and when they go about approaching their club construction. There could be a lull up until that's done. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, how aggressive teams get in terms of extensions and offerings, you know, prior to that agreement being in place. We'll see. But, yeah, I think the guards are going to be a little bit underrated going into this winter, to be honest with you. I think the division is really getting interesting with the Tigers' improvements over the course of the year, and I think they could be an aggressive team in free agency. But I think a lot of people are going to overlook the strength of Cleveland's rotation, specifically with Cal Quantrill coming on in the second half, and you know Bieber getting back healthy, and there's a lot to work with there still. The offense definitely needs help, but I think people are going to look at it like, Cleveland, they trade their stars and they'll probably trade Jose Ramirez and they won't sign anybody. But I think it's, you know, you look at their contractual commitments. I think there's an opportunity to maybe they extend Jose Ramirez instead of trading him. Maybe they actually, add some impact offensive talent because it's a really deep free agent class and there could be opportunities out there, particularly in the outfield. So, I'll be fascinated to see how they go about it. You know, they say they're going to spend some money this winter, and we'll see what that amounts to. But I don't think anybody's going to consider them the division favorite. No matter what happens this winter, it will be Chicago as the division favorite going into the year. But, you know, that Chicago team has some aging stars, and there could be more opportunity in the Central than people give it credit for.
And for those who follow you on Twitter, your observational humor is always second to none. Did you seriously get zinged at the grocery store the other day buying bread?
I did. I bought I go get some bread at Trader Joe's, and without missing a beat, the guy says, "Are you just loafing around the rest of the day?" And I was so caught off guard. It was, as I said, it was like meeting my Twitter account in person. I think puns usually, people are more guarded in person than they are in print, and I have to give that guy credit. That was a beautiful thing.
What comes around goes around.
That's amazing.
Thanks so much for coming on. Hey, enjoy the World Series. Based on the postseason so far, it should be a dandy.
Absolutely, Rosie. Thanks for having me.
That's Anthony Castrovince from MLB Network and MLB.com. Stay tuned. More to come after this.
If I learned one thing from this great game of baseball, it's that she'll humble you. You think you've got it figured out, you check the standings, and you're in last place again. I'm Eric Rubino, Fantasy Baseball GM, and I can put my team in position to win every single time, but I can't play the games, people. At least Progressive's Name Your Price tool has options based on my budget. It never lets me down, unlike my pitching staff. Amateurs!
Get options based on your budget with Progressive, even if you're not a legend in your own mind. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, soon to be Guardians Weekly, presented by Progressive. Jim Rosenhaus back with you from Progressive Field in downtown Cleveland. Great to have you with us as we continue with baseball talk on the radio. Our off-season shows carrying you through the off-season and on to spring training in Goodyear, Arizona 2022, when the Indians will indeed be the Cleveland Guardians at that point, and they open up a new season against the Kansas City Royals in Cleveland on March the 31st. Well, a regular part of our show in years past has been a look back at some of the great games of the prior season, and this year no different. We do it in the fall before they put things to bed and really start to turn and look toward 2022. So we will do that in the coming shows, and we begin that series this week, and we'll go in somewhat chronological order of some of the great games of the 2021 season for the Indians. And bear in mind, coming out of spring training, a lot of people thought if things broke right, the Tribe could be a contender for the American League Central Division crown. They had that good starting rotation when healthy, and maybe just enough offense to hang in there and stay close to a team that everyone thought would not only win the division, but perhaps reach the World Series. A lot of people very bullish on the Chicago White Sox coming out of spring training. Well, when those two clubs met on a chilly night in mid-April in Chicago, Tuesday night, April the 13th, to be precise, the Indians were 5-4 at the time, the White Sox 5-5, so both still trying to kind of get their feet under them, and they both would, certainly, the White Sox going on to win the division, and the Indians would be well over the 500 mark through mid-June. And early on, one of their keys, their reigning Cy Young Award winner, Shane Bieber. Bieber, who in 2020 was absolutely terrific, winning the Cy Young with an 8-1 record and an ERA of 1.63. He earned the Major League Pitching Triple Crown, a rarity not only in the game today, but at any point in history. So one of the great seasons of all time, albeit a shortened season for Bieber and the rest of Major League Baseball. Certainly a great one for him as he joined a long list, especially recently, of Indian Cy Young Award winners. So he was on the mound, was off to somewhat of a slow start by his standards in 2021. He had made a pair of starts heading into that night in Chicago with a record of 0-1 and an earned run average, allowing 5 runs over 12 innings of work. Not up to his standards that he had set the year prior. And Lucas Giolito would be on the mound for the White Sox. He, too, had allowed 5 runs in 11 innings of work, albeit he was 1-0 to start the season. The White Sox, an interesting story in that Tony La Russa had come out of retirement to manage that ball club. Second time around in Chicago for him. Already inducted into the Hall of Fame for what he had done, not only with the White Sox, but Oakland and St. Louis, among others. And certainly a great career for La Russa, and he came out of retirement to manage the White Sox and lend some experience in that dugout. They were off to a slow start by what they expected. The bullpen had been struggling for the White Sox, and that would come into play in this game here. But Bieber and Giolito, that was the anticipated pitching matchup, and it did not disappoint throughout much of the game.
The pitch, swing and a miss, chased a breaking ball in the dirt. Perez digs it out, throws to first to complete the strikeout of Adam Eaton. That's the first strikeout for Shane Bieber tonight, who averages 18 per 9 innings.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball swung on and missed. Strike 3. Look out. Bieber was already going good early. Now the strikeouts are kicking in. That's 3 straight hitters down on strikes over 2 innings.
Giolito, to this point, has thrown 37 fastballs, 29 changeups, and 10 sliders. Now the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Fastball up. And Gamble is out in a hurry. 7 strikeouts for Giolito. And both he and Bieber are masters at changing eye level and being able to go up with certain pitches and also go up with fastballs. And the hitters on both sides tonight are completely overmatched. Fastball waved at, 10 strikeouts for Shane Bieber. So Shane Bieber's been in double figures in strikeouts in the first 3 starts of 2021. Shane Bieber has now struck out 34 in his first 3 starts. A year ago, he struck out 35 in his first 3 starts, the third highest total in Major League history. Nick Mandrigal hits the first pitch on the ground to short. He'll be thrown out by Jimenez. And again, another quick pitch inning for Shane Bieber. To the ninth we go. Cleveland, Chicago. Goose eggs.
Giolito was finished after 7 scoreless innings, but meanwhile, Bieber was still out there in the ninth inning and still pitching extremely well.
Eaton at second, Abreu at first. 2 down in the ninth inning. No score. Bieber's ready. Here it comes. Swing and a miss. Chase the breaking ball in the dirt. Bieber will end his night with 11 strikeouts and 9 shutout innings. We've got extra innings coming up. Indians and Sox, no score going to the 10th.
So that put the game into extra innings, still scoreless. And with the new rules implemented in 2020, that meant a base runner starts at second in the extra innings. And for the Indians in the top of the 10th, that meant Franmil Reyes was the runner at second base. He moved on to third on a White Sox error, and that brought Roberto Perez to the plate, and he delivered the game's first run.
The lefty's ready. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, crowded towards the hole. Diving backhanded stop by Garcia, but he has no play. An infield hit. Reyes will score the go-ahead run, and the only run so far in this game. An RBI infield single by Roberto Perez into the hole. A backhanded stop by Leury Garcia, but he had no play. And the Indians have broken the deadlock and now have a chance to have a multiple run inning.
Later on in the 10th inning, the Indians got some breathing room thanks to Ahmed Rosario.
Now the pitch. A swing and a line shot toward the gap in left center. It'll get down and it'll get to the warning track. Naylor's in to score. Perez, he'll stop at third. And Ahmed Rosario with a huge pinch hit RBI double up the alley in left center. And the Indians now lead it 2-0. Oh, what a huge hit for Ahmed Rosario off the bench.
And while the extra run was nice, it was not needed, as in the bottom half of the 10th inning, James Karinchak was on to try and complete the shutout.
Shane Bieber watching from the Indians' first base dugout. Yeah, it's April 13th, but this would be quite a win. Can't start using the term big just yet, but it would be quite a win. The payoff pitch. Swing and a high drive to right. Back goes Naylor. Track. Wall. Now comes in a step and makes the catch. Oh, be still, my beating heart. A drive that sent Naylor to the wall, and then he came in one step to grab it. Ball game. The Indians in 10 have shut out the White Sox 2-0.
So what a night it was for Bieber, as in the early season he did show flashes of that Cy Young Award form from 2020. Of course, later on in the season, mid-June, a shoulder issue laid him up and forced him onto the injured list for 3 months before he came back with a pair of starts at the end. Bieber's final record, 7-4 with an ERA of 3.17. We caught up with him the day after those 9 scoreless innings for a win in Chicago in April. And he talked about not only the season ahead and his start, but his performance against Chicago.
Yeah, definitely. It's not like I was going into the offseason, you know, trying to reinvent my entire game, but saw some subtle fixes that, you know, could potentially help me just throughout my career, really. And a couple of those were just trying to go deeper into ball games and be more aggressive in the zone and establish the strike zone with, you know, multiple breaking balls, not just my curveball. And so adding that kind of new revamped slider has been helpful thus far. And fortunately, we had both of them kind of working for us yesterday, and that's, you know, how it ended up playing out.
And for fans who watch the game, they see these breaking balls and hitters swinging at pitches in the dirt. What is the subtle difference that slider does for you to help you along with some of the goals you're trying to achieve?
Yeah, honestly, when I watch it back on TV, I think both of my breaking balls look really similar. And I've talked to all my catchers about it, and when I'm throwing them and I get the catcher's feedback as well, they're definitely two separate. For whatever reason, just from the camera angle, they look very, very similar. One just might be a couple miles an hour MPH harder. But yeah, I think the slider is like I said, a little bit more velocity on it. It's staying straighter for a little bit longer, and it's moving definitely more horizontally than my curveball does. My curveball is pretty much north-south. So when I'm able to have both of those working and changing directions like that, it's probably going to be a good thing.
The game itself last night, you're matched up with Lucas Giolito, and going in, it seemed like a great pitching matchup, and it turned out to be. Can you appreciate that when you're in it, when you see the other guy doing so well as well?
No doubt. Hats off to him. I feel like every time we face off, it's a big game. It's a close game. and we both throw pretty well. So he threw extremely well, and that was fun. It was just a fun game to be a part of, to be honest, in all facets of it. And it was a great memory, and I know it's only April, but it felt like a lot more and kind of felt like a sort of an instant classic.
And you showed that emotion coming off the mound after the ninth inning with a big strikeout. And is that because of all those things you just said? Because normally you're pretty stoic when you come off the mound, but that certainly seemed to indicate there was a little more on the line.
Yeah, and just, you know, 0-0 ball game going into the ninth. And that was really obviously the biggest inning there. They had a chance to win it. And I found myself in a situation where I had to execute some pitches and felt comfortable going to the breaking ball there. And, you know, if I was going to go down, I was going to go down with the bread and butter. And fortunately that didn't happen. But, yeah, it was a big situation. And we could feel all the energy, you know, building up throughout the game. And to let that go towards the dugout a little bit, you know, it felt good. And that's kind of just playing in the moment.
And sometimes it takes a little while every season for a team to kind of find its identity and get comfortable with each other. A lot of new faces this year, but it seems like it's coming together in a hurry for this ball club. And are you enjoying this group of players, even with all the changes?
Yeah, no doubt. I think that's something we kind of touched on in spring training. Really exciting group, and excited to see how, you know, we carry our spring training over into the regular season. And thus far, it's been fun, man. It's been fun trying to find our identity, and I feel like we still obviously got some ways to go. It's a very long season, and we're going to face some adversity at points throughout the season, so it's a matter of how we react to that and as a group and how we come together. So I'm confident we'll be able to do that well, and you know, it's definitely been fun, you know, at the beginning here.
Well, nice stepping stone last night, to be sure. Nice going last night, Shane. Thanks.
I appreciate it, Rosie. Thank you.
Boy, and just to peel back the curtain a little bit on Bieber, obviously a great performance by him. And at that point, Tom Hamilton and I were not traveling with the ball club, but Bart Swain doing his usual great work to try and track down interviews for the next day's pregame show. And he said, yeah, Shane will give you a call in about 10 minutes. When I reached out to him the next day, figured that he might be in his hotel room just relaxing after a big night on the mound against the White Sox. Shane was out playing a round of golf and actually took a time out from that to join us and talk baseball, so he certainly appreciated his time for that. One of the all-time outstanding pitchers for the Indians, and one of the all-time good guys, too, that the Indians have had in their clubhouse. Now, after the game as well, Indians manager Terry Francona weighed in on the stellar performance by the Indians ace.
You know, you try as a manager, you try, obviously your goal is to win first and foremost, but you also try to take care of your players and be respectful. And so when he came off after eight, I just kind of gave him a quick, hey, how are you? Because I knew if he goes back, he's not coming out. And I wanted to make sure that if, even though he looked fine to me, if he, you know, maybe said, you know, I'm close, well, then I probably wouldn't have sent him back out, because you don't want to have somebody pitch that well and then have somebody else maybe give up their runs.
Well, that's our look back at the first of our many memorable games from the 2021 season. We'll have more as we continue on through the fall. But first, we'll take a timeout and come back as Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, continues after this timeout on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
We're on the warpath. It's spreading far and wide. We're talking baseball. Talking Tribe. You're talking baseball.
Pitch. Swung and drilled to first. It's a fair ball down the right field line and into the corner. Bauer scores. Lindor scores. Jose Ramirez with a two-run double. What a day for Hosey. And he rifled one down the right field line and into the corner. And the soccer song of Jose, 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 Jose is ringing around Progressive Field.
Welcome back to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive, soon to be Guardians Weekly, presented by Progressive. We'll keep you posted on when that transition will take place, and that'll be a key watchword throughout the offseason, and we'll try and bring you some updates on when certain merchandise will be available and what's going on down at the ballpark as the Indians start to trade out Indians logos and Block C logos with the new Guardians logo and the Guardians name in different spots of the ballpark and on merchandise. A lot going on this offseason in downtown Cleveland. And you can keep tabs by tuning in to what will be Guardians Weekly presented by Progressive, and you can do that on the Indians Radio Network. As we drop the show each Saturday late afternoon, you can pick it up on your participating Indians Radio Network affiliate station or Guardians Radio Network affiliate station. Also, on podcast form, you can pick it up wherever you download your favorite podcasts under Guardians Podcasts, as they'll make that transition as well. Or go to, at least for right now, Indians.com. You can pick up all the archived editions there as well. So a lot of ways to pick up our show each week. And so much of that, the handiwork of our man back at Command Center, Brian Motze. We thank him, as always, for putting together our show each week. Until next time around, this is Jim Rosenhaus reminding you that you've been listening to Tribe Talk, presented by Progressive on the Cleveland Clinic Indians Radio Network.
On the Cleveland Indians Radio Network has been brought to you by Progressive, helping Indians fans save hundreds on car insurance.